Are we going?
Into podcast.
Potter Who Cast.
Advertiser call.
Billis Major at your service.
Don't forget me.
Sarah, did you forget me?
Oh, let's go, that's class!
There is no such thing as...
Hello.
Hello.
Praise him. Anyway.
What did you say?
Nothing.
Did you say praise him?
No.
Whoa.
Praise him. Yeah. Who else is praising?
I'm Michelle, and I'm praising him all day. Hell yeah.
I live in Texas. I drive around the state. Like a not insignificant amount of time. And there's like one road where there is a sign that says, God loves you, praise him. I do think of this episode every time I hear.
Are there also like a bunch of dummies in that billboard?
No, they should. It's just like they a should. Plain white. I think it's like a couple miles away is like an anti-abortion one, so you know you're really getting the whole flavor on that road, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's very DIY, homemade, white background, black letter stencil.
Mm-hmm. all the dummies are in Congress, you see.
Zynga.
Somebody called the circus because all those clowns got the Congress. Wait, look, what's the Star Trek joke? Star Trek? The Simpsons joke.
It's a robot they have that just says stuff like that, and like it replaces the morning hosts on their TV.
And then the guy goes, "How does it get that so right?" Yeah,
it's actually one clown in the hotel.
The fears in the room were very funny to me because obviously this is like, it's not quite a kid's show, but kids watch it. So there were like no pedophiles and like really awful stuff in the rooms.
It's just clowns and gorillas. And
yeah, like my dad is like verbally abusive and it's like, well, yes, that tracks. But like, where is like the family pedophile room? Like,
what you're asking for is, where is the elevator with blood from The Shining? That's what you're asking for. The whole time I was like, I've seen this movie before. It was called The Shining.
Yep. I had the same. I was like, I think it really works for the vibe. Like the vibe is great, but I was like, this is just The Shining.
Mm-hmm. It's. There's the three things that people cite as like the influences are The Shining, 1984, and the Myth of Theseus. From what I've seen, I don't get
1984.
I don't know. There's also
is this like when Marvel directors say that they got inspiration from like some French movie?
It's like when Joss Whedon and then the Russo brothers both independently said this next movie, our sequel, is The Godfather 2 of this franchise.
Sure, Steven. Sure, Moffat. It is 1984. What is 1984 about this, though? Like, there's fears?
I'm loading
it's 1984 when people try to get you to not kill yourself by, like, surrendering to a Minotaur.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess the Room 101 idea is 1984, but even then I'm like, eh?
The critics also observe that the episode drew inspiration from George Orwell's novel 1984, particularly in the concept of rooms containing each person's deepest fear. I just like the idea of it was just the concept of rooms was the main pull that they were pulling from.
Yeah. Rooms, heard of them.
I've never heard of a room, but I have heard of the God Complex. broadcast on the 17th of September, 2011. Never forget. Directed by Nick Horan, who, of course, directed The Girl Who Waited, so obviously we've already talked about him, Michelle. And written by Toby Whithouse, who originally pitched this idea, I think, last year, and then they were like, it's too similar to other stuff. Write about vampires that are in Venice instead, and next year you can do your Minotaur story. Speaking of Minotaur stories, the gang get trapped in the old hotel with some other people while being stalked by a Minotaur who essentially possesses people when they see something in a room designed for them, which the Doctor realizes is actually based on the systems of faith that they have and things. And ultimately he has to break Amy's faith in him to save her from dying like the rest of them did. This allows the Minotaur to die itself. And then the Doctor brings Amy and Rory back to this house he's bought for them, basically. And he's like, you're not safe with me. You gotta stay here. And then he goes off to meet James Corden again in his house. Can I ask you both a question?
Sure.
What's Loser in Klingon?
I'll find out. Klingon translator. Let's go. English to Klingon. Loser.
It is. It is funny that they were like, I don't know. There's like a nerdy boy who is afraid of women, which yes.
I've beaten you to it, Michelle, and the answer seems to be. There's. I've found two different words that someone has said is. There's CHLL, which is probably like kill, and then there's Laertes, which I don't think is whatever.
Yeah, awesome. I don't really. No, but I do think that is funny.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the Wikipedia, the TARDIS wiki page for Klingonese or Klingon. And behind the scenes, though the God complex doesn't make a direct connection, there is an obvious reference to the language of the Klingons, a race from the Federation universe and Doctor Who media, as well as other media in the Star Trek franchise, which falls outside what this wiki covers. I would never have known that was a reference to Star Trek. Thank you, Wiki, for telling me that was a reference to Star Trek. this is one that I've always kind of gone kind of through the middle of, I guess. I've never really had like any strong feelings towards it either side. I just kind of think it's an interesting idea, I think. And it's an interesting idea that kind of is, I don't know, it's an interesting idea with an ending I don't really think squares the circle they're trying to square with it. But I don't know, really.
I personally think the problem at the core of this story is that, maybe this is just me, I don't know if you guys disagree with me, I don't think fear and faith are as related as the story thinks. Maybe it's because I don't have a lot of faith, but when I think of fear, the opposite of fear is, to me, courage, right? It's not faith. I don't know. The whole time it was like, okay, so you see something that you're scared of, you revert back to your base faith. And I'm like, okay, I guess I kind of get that. And then it's like the faith become real. It's like, oh, it's. I think the problem is that it becomes too conceptual at a certain point, as opposed to doing what Doctor Who does best, which is take the concept and make it real. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think faith works in the way they're talking about. Like when they clock it, in fact, when they clock it, the Doctor goes like, it makes sense. Howie believed in conspiracies. The guy believes in luck, and I'm like, okay, hold on a second. I don't think that's faith, though, right? Like, believing in conspiracies isn't the same as faith, right? Or luck.
Yeah, I do. I think I mostly agree with you. I think if I stretch, I think they did a terrible job explaining it. But if I, you know, make a few logical leaps, I understand where they're going with. Like, I think of this, what's that? The external locus of control, like the idea that you are not in control of your life, something other than you are controlling your life. Like, I'm not a nerd loser with a stutter because, you know, I just got dealt a bad hand or whatever. Like, the CIA didn't, the CIA makes all the moves to make anything possible kind of thing. Like, I could see from that, but, like, I agree. It really didn't do a great job of, like, explaining that or, like, really tapping into this, like, if I'm faced with, like, this deep fear, what am I falling back on? And for a lot of the characters, it was like their faith. Like, I will, even if I die, like, you know, when Rita's like, I know that I'm a good person. If this is hell, then I have nothing to fear kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was, you know what? I was like, I was thinking it the whole time. And then I was like, I don't know if this is rude, but I was like, British people can't do faith. Like, they're too skeptical of people. Mm-hmm. Like, an American needs to make this.
There is, like, the thing with the whole faith angle as well is that I think they do get lost in the mire of trying to misdirect people by being like, you know, here's the gorilla that she's scared of, or here's the gym teacher that this guy's scared of, or, you know, here are the weeping angels that this person's scared of. And I think it kind of, in attempting to conceal this twist that it's about faith, not fear, it kind of loses the run of what it's trying to do in that regard. I also just think that it really is kind of the way it tries to, and I said this kind of earlier on Amstrad, but like the way it tries to present it as this is like the Doctor's God complex, and this is it, like ultimately like it's him being like, I've put Amy in danger because she believes in me too much, and Rory, you know, he's wrong for the right anyway, but like I have to, like, you know, drop them off at home and just never see them again. I don't really think it really lands that whole kind of element. The bit when it really made me roll my eyes was when the Minotaur was dying and it was like the being bathed in blood
who oh, never, yeah.
And I was like, I'm not talking about myself. I was like, geez, like I don't know.
I don't want an insult because I think Toby Whitehouse, much better writer than I can ever hope to be, has written much better stuff than I can ever hope to write. That being said, there is a point where he says that was the first thing I wrote, and I was like, yeah, it feels like a first draft. Like, can we please make it a little bit more subtle? Like, I when I read that, because what I did, the thing I told myself not to do, because I was like, why? I had a moment where I was like, why don't I remember my opinions about this episode? And then I realized because I skipped it. So I was reading it and I was like, oh, this is what happens in it. I realized I skipped it. And I was like, okay, if that's how it ends, if they keep it ambiguous, I guess it's fine. But like, they literally have the Doctor say, I wasn't talking about myself. Why would you translate that, you idiot? Like,
yeah. I think it also, like, that it feels very tacked on, and I feel like a lot of this season especially, like, there are a lot of episodes that just like have a tacked on ending to connect the overarching myth arc, and so to me it felt like, oh, okay, we gotta do whatever the bullshit we're leading up to for the finale at the end of the episode. So finding out he actually wrote that first and like that wasn't just pegged on for con is funny. Like, oh, okay,
it is just like, I like, we're coming at this from the perspective of having seen the finale, and I think we're both caught off guard by how much we like the finale, and the way the finale translates this idea of him getting too big for his boots and putting too many people in danger that he has to basically fake his own death and fake his own downfall and stuff. I just don't think this entire episode does that idea justice in a way wherein he's writing up to that moment in retrospect feels so strange to me, because it really does not feel like it really feels more like they decided to add that into the editorial idea at the end rather than being like, that's the whole idea. It has potential, I think, but I think it does in turn kind of run out of ideas at a certain point. I do like that they are kind of the bits when it gets kind of in the minutiae of everything, I really kind of like when it's like the whole thing with Rita's character, and I have to shout out America Ram because in 2018 she randomly liked three or four of my tweets out of nowhere that I didn't even mention her in. And I was like, okay. And I realized that was her. And I was like, oh. And also, she's good in Darjeeling Limited. She's really good in that, I think. But
like, did she play Rita?
She did. She played a character called Rita in it as well. And I was like, you know, typecasting, jeez. but like, I like her character and like all her stuff. But eventually, it does just feel like they're doing, okay, this character dies, we do this whole thing. This character dies, we do this whole thing. And then you're left with like the least interesting guy out of the four. I'm not just saying that because David Williams is a real wrong one in real life. He's not a very nice man in real life. But his character just does not feel like, for all like the kind of stuff they're doing with it, like, you know, he's an alien whose whole race's idea is that we live in fear of everyone. We welcome everyone who invades us because that's our whole thing. He never just feels like an interesting kind of character to kind of leave you with, I guess. I don't know.
Agree.
Yeah.
I was joking before you hopped on, David, that I had y'all come invite me on for Midnight Part 2. And I feel like if he's like the Weasley, like insufferable, miserable person, like the that couple in Midnight, he's not the same because like he's not evil enough, and then like he never feels like he has a comeuppance, and it just kind of is like, well, this guy should suffer. Like if he's going to be this annoying, he should, like, something terrible should happen to him, and it just never does.
He should be like chased by the Minotaur or something and knocked into next Sunday rather than him just being like, oh, I could give me a lift home. I guess I'm here now as well.
It's that thing from Voyage of the Damned where the people who survive are not exactly the people who deserve it, which fine, like that's a point, that's a good point to make, cool, but at the same time, like, I don't think any of these characters apart from Rita at any point interested me. So the only one I actively cared about was Rita, and the instant the doctor was like, oh, Rita, you're cool, you should travel with me, it's like, yeah, she's gonna die. It's like, oh, got it, she's gonna die. Thank you for telling me I don't need to care about her. Like, that's all I know immediately. I know immediately she's gonna die.
It's... There's a lot of stuff that I think... It's one of those episodes where I appreciate, like, the production design, even though I know it's probably just a hotel they found, is really good. I really like the kind of chintzy kind of idea of like this 80s motel that is like hell, basically. Even though I kind of think the ultimate reveal of what it is, it's a bit silly. I will say, in terms of the Minotaur itself, I have to shout out last time to your guest Peter, because Peter and I both predicted it would be a Nymon reference that they go for at the end, and then they did, and we were both like, yeah. Oh, to be 14 again. But I think it's just like, it's doing a lot of stuff in like the kind of the outskirts that I like, but I think it just doesn't really give itself up to being anything more than a vessel for a conflict that doesn't ever really go anywhere. Because like Amy and Rory are in the next episode anyway, and then they're in the one after that, and then they're back with him after that, and then, you know, it never really feels like its own thing. It feels like a side adventure to build up to the main event, which, you know, can work sometimes, but I think here it just kind of feels a bit like a wasted opportunity, especially when it's building up to a mid gap of James Corden. So, you know, there's like, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff
I'd love to see this as a Big Finish story. I feel like a Big Finish story could give it more breathing room, and like they could do something funkier with it when they don't have to make visuals for this story. So it could be like, I don't know, more unsettling. I just like kept thinking like, this feels like it would be a Big Finish story.
I feel like it doesn't really change much, but I feel like they shoot their shot too early by being like, this is a fake hotel. If you kind of have like whatever's going on kind of hidden a bit more as it goes along, then I feel like it gets a bit more interesting. Whereas if you're leading with, this is a hotel where people go crazy by going to rooms and stuff, it does kind of feel a bit kind of, I don't know, it isn't really for me, I think, ultimately is what I'm trying to say. And there's, you know, there's just a lot of silly stuff. The belief thing, it really just does not kind of go well with me. It just doesn't really kind of make sense to me as a...
It makes sense if your reaction to fear is to fear is to pray, which is not for everyone. That's the thing. I think my reaction to fear is to run away, which is why I think I would be shown the fucking... I mean, I know it would be in my room, but... I have hope that they would show me just the exit. I like that Rory keeps getting shown the exit. Like the hotel is like, sorry, bro, I'm so sorry. Sorry.
They could have comped him for like, you know, they could be like, here's we'll give you like a free dinner or something, because, you know, we can't really do anything with you. So, you know,
well, the hotel is conscious enough to be like, Rory, you are an accident, please get out of here. But not conscious enough to be like, clearly this Minotaur wants to die. Like, can't the Minotaur stop eating? But it's like, it's a creature on instinct. Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
The Minotaur, it's kind of the Minotaur's whole kind of modus operandi, and it's like its thought process and character kind of swings a lot for me between like it being, you know, the same run on instinct, but also it seems like it's enjoying it sometimes, which I think is maybe just a body language thing for the performer. I think it feels, I don't know, it just feels strange to me. I don't know. I think in my room it would be a DVD copy of K9 series 1, and maybe a box of Torchwood Miracle Day, and I would have to kind of, you know, back away slowly. Also, if this was made today, Howie would be into way, way more dangerous. Howie would be like QAnon like stuff, rather than being like, you know, the government is putting fluoride in the water and
the secret cities in Norway that the US has, I'm doing air quotes, would be like the QAnon version of that. Is like they have children over there, they're like harvesting or whatever the freak shit they believe. My room would be the power's been out for 7 days and it's the middle of summer and I'm sweating.
Oh no.
As someone who had to live that like multiple times last year.
Oh no.
Because
I live in a failed state.
Oh, if we want to talk about rooms, I did a little Googling earlier on. There is a post on the Doctor Who subreddit, or Doctor Who, from 2 years ago, where people are saying, what do you think was in the Doctor's room? And all the comments are like, did you not watch the episode where they explicitly reveal it was a crack on the wall? And there's people in the comments being like, oh, I think it might have been this or that. And people are like, they show us in the episode. Like,
By the way, Can I just say really quick? He says, who else? And then they say it's a crack. No. Fuck you. It should have been like the fucking David Burton doctor, like some random incarnation he doesn't want to like. It's John and Jill from the comics. His grandkids from the comics. Just
can we it get was out the of master. Here, it was the master and the doctor making out, and it was like I don't want to address these feelings at the moment.
It was a big printed up yaoi that had been stuck to the wall.
It was an AO3 search of Those with like 10,000 responses.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see a version where Can someone, I'm going to do it. Sorry, nobody do this because I'm going to do it. Can someone do a version where he opens the door and you just hear faintly in the background, Doctor in distress? Like,
it's Ian Levine yelling at Gary Barlow trying to take that audio recording. it is so funny that the guy who's appointed himself the missing episode Guardian and Guardian of Classic Who was also a guy who got yelled at by Robbie Williams and his friends for being a terrible record producer and spending most of his time buying chocolate bars in the shop. Ian Levine, not a nice guy. His room would probably be a woman because he hates women being in Doctor Who. So
yeah. A woman who knows more about Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
It's like really just top tier terror material for these types. Also, just circle back to the Faith thing. I think the other kind of fatal flaw of this episode is that if your faith is so like deep, it can't be just given up by the doctor being like, I'm actually a really awful person, Amy. You probably should have grown out of this by now. Yeah. And I hate to break it to you at this exact moment. Like, I don't think that would break her faith. Like, I think the point of faith is that it's like practically unshakable. And like, that's what's like so powerful and frightening about it. And so it's like, she just suddenly stopped believing in him. Okay.
I will say in Classic Who, in The Curse of Fenric, they have the exact same situation where the doctor has to break Ace's faith in him. And I do it much better there because the doctor Lee calls her a stupid idiot who's terrible and that he made a mistake bringing her. And like, he starts insulting her like nonstop. And that feels like the way to do it because he is like, you know, performatively degrading her while they're being like, listen up, Amy, I'm actually pretty bad. You know, you should probably, you know, I should probably cancel. So, you know, just go away rather than Sylvester McCoy screaming in like Sophie Aldred's face that she's a failure and that she's a worthless thing. I don't know.
Yeah. That's like so like bad boy. Like, you shouldn't love me. I'm like broken. Mm-hmm. And it's like, sometimes that's like a lot hotter to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about that.
I like as well that Rory gets completely like smashed twice into a door.
Literally get it's like a comical beat of him just going.
When he's like, when the Minotaur's busted in and he's like attached to the other side of the door and it swings open, like, this is a serious moment. I just start bust out laughing. It's like, God, that's so funny.
I will say as well, we are a season removed from the episode that says an image of an angel becomes itself an angel. Yeah. The angels in this,
yeah,
nothing happens with them.
Shut up! Nope, nobody cares.
Play the goof jingle. Play the goof jingle right now.
It is the worst. I mean, it's the most like, sorry. Let's get that back. Let's pretend that didn't happen, guys. It's the most like when we bring that up whenever it's convenient to us and whenever it's not convenient to us.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a reason why it's not. This particular image did not become an angel.
Other things I liked. I was unfortunately enough of a nerd at the time to recognize that one of the portraits was of one of the Doctor Who producers at the time. which, you know, as a 14-year-old, I should have been at the club, not being like, that's Marcus Wilson. Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of things. It's a lot of things that maybe aren't great. Like, Joe's character, you know, God love Joe. Howie is Howie. Risha is obviously like the kind of the big kind of, you know, great part of that whole idea of the guys around him. But yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those episodes where like, I've never had anything either side to say beyond. I just don't think it really comes together. I understand how like people like love, because I know this one's like a huge one for like a lot of people, but like it's never really been like a huge one for me, I guess. I don't know.
When I first watched Doctor Who, I rated it really highly. Like, I thought this was one of my favorite episodes. And when I rewatched it, I was like, I think I just hadn't seen enough TV. Like, I think the emotional stuff, like, still mostly works for me because I'm kind of a sucker. But, like, yeah, a lot of it, like, and also, you know, grading with a curve, but those graphics were especially bad at the end of the episode. Like, I was like, okay, y'all have, like, no money left.
All the money went to hiring the Minotaur.
yes.
They went back in time to ancient Greece, and they were like, you're coming with us, man. And then he came forward with them. The idea of, like, they've stuck this guy in a floating spaceship for the rest of his life is, like, one of those things that
they love doing that in the Doctor Who universe. They love just, like, creating prisons for deities for, like, some idiot to stumble upon. It's like, are they really that hard to kill? I don't understand. Like, can't you just shoot them in disguise?
It feels to me like if you can put him in a prison, it feels to me like I want to see that meeting where someone is like, the guy walks in like, I have come up with the prison for the Minotaur. Wow, great job, dude. What's this prison? Yeah, it's going to go in pit space. Awesome. That's not where we are. Great. And it's going to travel for, like, forever with the Minotaur. Great. That's what we want. And it's just going to, like, kidnap people to feed it. Oh, you mean it's going to kidnap people forever to feed the guy we don't like? Yeah. It's just going to keep kidnapping people forever to feed the guy we don't like.
The creature that will starve. Like, instead of just starving the creature.
Yeah, don't you guys hate him? It's like, you put him in a prison, but no, we have to make sure that if he's going to live forever. Like, what? It almost makes me like, it feels like there's something missing. Like, this guy cannot be killed, but he dies. He dies at the end. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the other episode they do this is, like, Impossible Planets. Like, that's Satan. Like, I understand the concept of Satan as a concept being hard to defeat and, like, imprisoned him. But, like, this is just, like, a random Minotaur. Like, what?
Exactly.
I'm looking at the story notes and production notes for this, and a lot of this stuff makes sense. Such as, Gibbous was originally conceived as a largely unpleasant figure, but this element was gradually toned down, which you can tell because but you can tell, like, this guy was meant to be more kind of like
annoying,
like that guy, yeah, like that guy in Voyage of the Damned. There's originally they were going to have a prominent and sympathetic character who would exhibit a more traditional faith in God, although Whithouse was not particularly religious himself. He hoped to buck this often cynical trend in modern fiction of portraying devout individuals in a strictly negative light. And then that character became Rita, which makes sense in terms of...
Yeah, did a good job.
But I feel like that's also frustrating. If Toby is not, like, religious, then, like...
Then why did you,
why did you make the swing? Yeah.
Do you know what's even more strange and confusing? A late change came when executive producer Beth Willis voiced her concern that the story relied too heavily on abstract concepts and would be visually repetitive. To take better advantage of the hotel setting, Toby Whithouse and Stephen Moffat developed the idea that there would be a room in the hotel for each of the trapped individuals.
The room came later?
Yeah.
The room is the entire episode.
Yeah. No wonder it feels so tacked on.
Yeah. Oh my God. That explains it so much. It's 25 minutes of the room, then 20 minutes of the Minotaur. Hold on. What was it before then?
It just says that it was just the idea of a labyrinthine hotel, because Moffat stayed in the hotel once and was like, this is impossible to parse in terms of, like, where I am in the hotel at this given time.
A maze in a hotel is like, and then something needs to happen, you know, where you start.
Yeah. I assume it'd be like a hotel maze, and then there's a Minotaur running around in the hotel, and then it turns out that it's a prison, but the hotel thing ultimately, like, does not really make sense to me. It's like, why is it a hotel when like the hologram thing is doing whatever.
Do they really explain? Do they explain? I feel like they say, "Oh, the settings got stuck."
Yeah,
Something.
Yeah, but still, it like the settings got stuck. But I think they say more in the context of like that's why people get getting sucked in because it's been set to just kind of bring people in over and over again.
It's been set to the Shining homage, and we can't flip the switch.
Yeah.
They actually filmed Ready Player One in the spaceship for that one bit where it's The Shining for
half. I mean, the bit where the clown is literally the bear from The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is one-to-one. He's sitting like the bear from The Shining. I mean, there's it's no not, one giving him a blowjob, yeah. But... which is what's missing.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is like, I feel like if it was the Shining homage, but like a little bit cheeky in the sense that like, this is a kid's show. We can't do the Shining. Like if it was like a bit cheekier about that, I feel like that could have been fun too.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, it's like, yeah, we know this is the Shining. Right. Yeah. We're not going to show like the blowjob.
There's also so much of The Shining you could do for kids. Like,
it
is scary, but like, the bit where Danny is riding the tricycle for the hotel and then he sees the two kids, you could do that for a kid. I mean, it would scare the shit out of them, but you could do that. It's like, they were like, okay, there's a room with everyone's fears, like The Shining. Okay, but we can't do it too scary because it's for kids. So they went into the comical direction. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think any of the rooms are scary, to be completely honest.
Mm-hmm.
There's maybe the most it gets to a scary level is the ventriloquist dummies, because those are just naturally scary. But the PE coach is not scary. The dad is much more of like an emotional scare than like a actual scary thing. The only like actual scary thing are the weeping angels, and they immediately go, these are not real weeping angels.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it does feel like
half-baked. What it needed was like a hotel. I know like the idea is like it's an abandoned hotel. It needs a hotel staff that are in there that are like just kind of like projections of what's going on. Like maybe they're like, oh, do you want to go to your room? You know, would you like to go to your room? You know, your room is ready to go into. Like something like that where like these people are like, you know, being encouraged to go to their rooms by like a staff. Part of the, yeah, a staff that's like a projection of like this thing that's feeding the mentor.
Like maybe. It's not that you start praising him and then he eats you. You start praising him, you become part of the staff, and then he eats you. So, you're working for him. You're praising him.
They need the mentor to be like the hotel manager wearing like a suit and a tie and being like, you know.
Well, the suit and the tie, the fact that everyone in the photos has a suit and tie is a really good visual gag. But I was like, that is a scary thing. Like, if you go up to someone and they're just wearing a suit and tie out of nowhere, that is a scary visual. You could make that scary. Like, what the actual scary things are left to the background, whereas the not scary things are highlighted in a way that just saps them of their fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The other thing also, as well is that, sorry, you go ahead.
Also, if the fear was like more of a childhood fear, I feel like that would have been good of like, you know, the characters feeling smaller and sort of regressing to the sort of like childlike, and especially the way the feels are like, you know, my dad being mad at me, like clowns, you know, weeping angels, being left by this annoying alien. Yes, PE coach. Like a lot of these are childhood fears. Like they should have just made the characters feel small. And I feel like they kind of accomplished that with Rita, like when she's in the room with her dad, she just seems small. She's crying. Mm-hmm. Like she's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good. Yeah. That's a really good scene.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one moment. I mean, everything that works about this episode revolves around Rita, which is why when she dies, whatever little energy the episode had goes away. Because now it's just like, and we lost the one good character we like. So now we're stuck with Gibbs.
Gibbous, who's just kind of like, I will say I was never scared of my PE teacher most because whenever he did like, whenever we were doing like a new sport or something in PE and he did like demonstrated, he always messed up. So I was fun. Like there was one time when he was like, we were like doing, we're doing like basketball drills for some reason. And he was like, okay, this is like, you know, I want to say you do like a three pointer and he missed like three times. And then he was like, just go and play basketball. And he went back into his office. So I always found him very funny. He's also a very nice guy, but like he was just kind of, he kind of messed up every single time he tried to do that. I think, yeah, if you're doing like, I still think like if you're doing childhood fears, you're doing like fears in general, you kind of have to like make the like idea of faith a little more tangible with regards to that rather than just being like, it's faith. You gotta have the faith to like deal with this kind of stuff. Like it just feels very kind of, you know, like it feels very kind of dizzy and just like okay, by the way, it's faith anyway, we're gonna go and like do this thing now. I do like their house that the doctor gets them. I do wonder what he did with the house that they're living in the 11th hour. Not 11th hour, sorry, Impossible Astronaut. If he like got their furniture all moved from there, or if they had to like organize a moving truck to bring that stuff over for them.
He did a bit of insurance fraud.
The house burnt down and now he was maybe
what he did. What he did is because he's busy, he has to take them back now, but he can't do all that. He sends a note to a future incarnation and he's like, can you do this? So if we, for me, because you're a time traveler, so if we had seen that footage, we would have seen a very pissed off 12th Doctor like, fucking hell, like, oh, I hate this.
Why is he all this fucking Laurel and Hardy fucking DVDs? What are you fucking tossing that, you know?
On fucking death.
That episode where he helps, to briefly jump ahead, though, where 12 helps Bill move in, it's like, he does that, he's like, oh, fuck, I'm supposed to do that for Amy.
oh man, but yeah, it's just whatever. Like I've never really like the one. I prefer the version of I need you to like think I'm gone, or I need you to be away from me because I'm scared of what I'll do to you by being just like your friend. The version in the finale, I think, is much stronger than this. I think mostly because you have River being like, you know, I would kill the universe just to make sure you don't die, and him being like, oh god, but him finding it attractive not to be like, oh god, that's, you know, I need to stop. Whereas here, just kind of feels like him being very kind of selfish in a way that, like, you know, as I said, it's immediately undercut by them being in the next episode for like 5 minutes. And then being in the episode, it would land a lot better if this episode were maybe earlier, or this moment of the episode were in like an earlier episode, and then we have like, you know, 3 or 4 series 6 episodes where he's by himself, and then he sees them again, and then you have the finale, and then you have him going back to them at Christmas, and, you know, obviously the episode after that is them breaking up again, and it's like, well, you know, okay. But yeah, I don't know. I guess, you know, I don't know. Do you remember, like, do you know that Gordon Ramsay, after Gordon Ramsay had the big success of Kitchen Nightmares, he decided to do a version for hotels called Hotel Hell, where he just went to hotels and was like judging them. And whenever I think of that, I'm like, why are you the person hosting this? Because you're business expertise is in restaurants, not in, like, you know, hotel management and how to run a hotel and stuff like that. He should go to this hotel, basically. And
I thought you were going to say, yeah. Oh, you're cutting up, David?
I know, I did. I stopped making my point.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought you were going to suggest that that Gordon Ramsay should have shown up in this episode. He's one of the victims.
What's his room? Undercooked chicken?
It's an undercooked beef. it's a person be like, here's my meal. It's like the shittiest plate ever. Like, no!
I want to fucking praise him. Fuck.
Praise him, fuck!
What's that iconic episode of... Was that Kiss of Nightmares of, like, was it ABC... Cookies. I don't know if you remember this.
It was Amy's Baking Company, and
they
it's a two-part episode because they every single moment, like, basically, like, you're an idiot, Gordon. I don't want to listen to what you're saying, and he goes, instead of like finishing the episode, he's like, I'm just leaving because you two don't want me here. And he walks away from them and never comes back. Well, he comes back for like one episode. Maybe it's that couple. Yeah.
In this room.
it's that couple, and it's a version of him enjoying their food. And he's like, oh no. Oh no.
So by the way, when the episode where he comes back, he doesn't go back. He just presents it through like a specially recorded interview. He's not even in the same set as them. Like, it's insane.
That guy's career post Kitchen Nightmares. Like, they brought back Kitchen Nightmares partly because a certain writer strike was going on, so they needed like, and as actor strikes, they needed like, you know, very cheap things to produce. But like, his whole career post Kitchen Nightmares blowing up, it has been him trying and incredibly failing to recapture that magic. Like the ones where he goes into a restaurant wearing like a fake disguise, and the disguise is always like, I don't know if you've ever seen photographs of the stuff he wears. It's like it's either horrifying like prosthetic masks that make him look like a gingerbread man, or it's him wearing like a wig, or him wearing like a fake mustache, and they have to pretend they don't recognize him. But yeah, he should be here, as should Jamie Oliver, because he is evil. But yeah, I'm done. I don't know anything else
Yeah, before we end up, just because you brought up Kitchen Nightmares, I just want to point out, if you guys, you know, if you listeners are a bit, you know, you just want to waste an hour or two, go to the Kitchen Nightmares YouTube channel. Whoever is handling that social media, they just put up full episodes, but they pull up with like weird thumbnails. There's one where they just enlarged Gordon Ramsay's ears. Like, it's it's insane. They don't edit it. They just post it like they're like regular videos.
Yeah, I earn like $50,000 a week doing that. So, you know, I thank you for your interest in my work. next week we're going to put up one where Gordon Ramsay has giant fingers for no reason. It has nothing to do with the episode. It's something he wants to explore. When I was in college and incredibly depressed, I used to watch 3-hour long compilations of Hell's Kitchen, and that was my kind of cut time killer. What is okay? You've shown us a thumbnail of
Two Gordon Ramsays, and they've they've replaced his arms with the arms of Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo from the Holding Space interview. And the name of the video is Gordon's Holding Space with the lyrics of Defying Gravity right now. What is this episode about? Like, I have no fucking idea.
This is an hour and a half video. Like, hour and a half.
Listen, the amount of meetings I had to go through at legal to clear that, you know? I had to get Gordon to design the thumbnail himself because he was like, I have an idea, I have a dream. And I was like, listen, bud, you know, go run with it, you know? And I've never wanted to kill a dream. So I was like, you know, this is your dream.
Oh my God. I just saw one. This is this to me. Oh my God. I got it. This is it. We got it.
And it's from Hotel Hell as well. It's Gordon Ramsay in the bathtub, and his feet are pixelated as if it's like a.
And the title is Gordon Lets the Dogs Out. Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's good. We'll get a special episode with that on because I need to.
Please put that in the. Okay. Yeah. Wait, can you put that in the podcast art? But put it like slightly transparent and in.
It's over Matt Smith's face, so it looks like he's having a flashback to walking into a room. Maybe that was what was in the doctor's room, was this Gordon with his feet up, being like, you know.
In the bathtub, wiggling his toes.
Who else? Shezza, do you have any Gordon Ramsay things you want to plug or anything adjacent to Gordon Ramsay at all?
I don't. You can follow me on Blue Sky at alphacouple.bsky.social. My plug is that I'm trying to make 2025 the year of 20th Century Boys. It's this manga written by Naoki Urasawa. And so my plug is everyone should read 20th Century Boys.
Mm-hmm. My plug is everyone should stop looking at Gordon's feet because,
yeah,
you know, he should be selling those off, not giving away for free. Gamertime.online, I don't know. Michelle, do you have anything you want to add?
I'm looking at it. I'm trying to find one that's as twisted. Wait, I did find one. Okay, here we go. Please tell me if you understand what this reference is, because I do, and it's somebody. It's a man and a woman climbing. A woman riding on the man's back. They've edited both faces to replace them with Gordon Ramsay, and Gordon Ramsay is saying, "Hold on tight, Spider Monkey," as in Twilight, right? That's from Twilight.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. It's very God
funny
bless
to
this
me.
Guy.
Yeah, it's very funny to me as like a woman, a teen that grew up like during the Twilight craze, so have read the books, but for some reason the movies were like silly to me, as if the books weren't. I don't understand, but whatever.
I did the opposite. I saw the movies and I never read the books.
Okay,
I've seen the first movie.
Movie's good.
It is. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. Do you think there's a Potter who asked for Kitchen Nightmares? And if so, should we jump on that before it's taken by someone else? You know, get your Potchin nightcasts out there. We can go through the chronological order of Kitchen Nightmares and Hotel Hell and 24 Hours to Hell and Back, where he pretends to fix a restaurant in 24 hours' time. yeah. Gordon Ramsay, more like goodbye, Ramsay. Bye-bye.
Fucking raw.
Next time on Pod Tour, who cast?
Hello, Craig. I'm back.
What are you here for?
I'm the doctor.
I work in a shop now.
You've noticed something and you're investigating it, and because it's you, it's going to be dangerous and alien.
What is that? Help me!